Last week, I started talking to you about being obsessed with Jesus. And we took our first look at Malachi chapter 1, verse 11. And it says, "From the Message, I am honored all over the world, and there are people who know how to worship me all over the world, who honor me by bringing their best to me. They're saying it everywhere. God is greater, this God of the angel armies." And the point I was driving at here in this Malachi 1:11 is that God declares through His prophet Malachi that His name is great, He is great, and He will be honored as being great all over the world. Our problem is that we think we're great. And we think that there are so many other things that have caught our attention, so many other things that have caught our focus, that we have not really understood that the root of ingratitude to God for all that He has done, the root of ingratitude for all that God has done is found in selfishness. The root of ingratitude for all that God has done is in selfishness. That although none of us would raise our hand and go, "Well, the reason God's done for me, what's God's done for me is because I deserve it." None of us would say that. Yet, when God does something for us, we don't have to feel like we deserve it. But if we use it for selfish purposes, it was still all just for self. We live in a world that's preoccupied and obsessed with itself. But over the next couple of weeks, what I want to talk to us about is being obsessed with Jesus. Obsessed, of course, is a verb, and it means to haunt or excessively preoccupy the mind of, to engage in obsessive thinking, to become obsessed with an idea. Some synonyms for the word obsessed are things like beset, consume, dominate, engross, hold, infatuate, or possess. We can also look at the word obsessed as an adjective, and that would be obsessed, which would mean consumed or driven about belief or driven by desire. Some synonyms for obsessed are things like beset, and captivated, controlled, dogmented, dominated, Eat, sleep, and breathe. There you go, that's good. Engrossed, fixated, gripped, have on the brain, held, hooked, hung up on, immersed in, infatuated, overpowered, plagued, possessed, preoccupied, really into, seized, taken over, tied up, turned on, up to here in, wound up with, and wrapped up in. Antonyms for the word obsessed are indifferent and unconcerned. And generally, the point I'm driving at is this. We are one or the other. We are either a synonym or an antonym. One or the other. We are either obsessed or we are indifferent and unconcerned. We don't want to think of ourselves as being indifferent or unconcerned, but there really isn't, and we got to remember with God that there is no middle ground. There is no middle ground. And so after we covered this last week, we turned over to Luke chapter 6. We looked at verses 32 through 36, which read this way. Here is a simple rule of thumb for behavior. This is how the Message puts it. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you. Then grab the initiative and do it for them. If you only love the lovable, do you expect a pat on the back? Run-of-the-mill sinners do that. If you only help those who help you, do you expect a medal? Garden variety sinners do that. If you only give for what you hope to get out of it, do you think that's charity? The stingiest of pawnbrokers does that. I tell you, Jesus says in verse 35, love your enemies. Help and give without expecting a return. You'll never, I promise, regret it. Live out this God-created identity the way our Father lives toward us, generously and graciously. Even when we're at our worst, our Father is kind. You be kind. Then last week what I did was I read you the story of what happened to the Amish people up in Pennsylvania in October of 2006, where a man came to their schoolyard or school building and boarded it shut and sent all the boys out and killed five of their young girls, I keep wanting to say teenager, but they ran from ages 6 to 13. So most of them had not even reached teenage years yet. And we talked about the hideousness of this particular crime and yet the response of the Amish to this man, to his wife, to his parents, and to his family. And I read this part here to you. You ready? Some commentators criticized the swift and complete forgiveness with which the Amish responded, arguing that forgiveness is inappropriate when no remorse has been expressed, and that such an attitude runs the risk of denying the existence of evil. Others were supportive. Donald Crabill and two other scholars of Amish life noted that letting go of grudges is a deeply rooted value in Amish culture. They explained that the Amish willingness to forgo vengeance does not undo the tragedy, and it does not pardon the wrong, but rather constitutes a first step toward a future that is more hopeful. I then went on after we looked at what happened to the Amish, and I said, if we are to obey these verses in Luke chapter 6, there must be a commitment, a strength, and a resolve that is bigger and greater than ourselves. Now, this is very important. I rushed through to get to this sentence right here. If we are to obey these verses, which obedience is not an option. Are we all on the same page with that? Obedience is not an option. If we are to obey these verses, though, there must be a commitment, a strength, and a resolve that is bigger and greater than ourselves. Our preoccupation with ourselves, our obsessing over ourselves, will never allow us to live the commandments of Jesus. We must become obsessed with Jesus. And so we talked about then, what is the first sign of being obsessed with Jesus? Obsessed people give freely and openly without strings. And the example, of course, was the example of the Amish, who freely gave openly and freely without strings. They gave forgiveness to a man, to a wife, to a family, to a community, and set an example for a nation that needed such an example. And then we ended last week with Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 and 8, where Jesus said, as you go, preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Immediately. After service last week, four people came and asked me the same question. Now, that is important to me, and let me tell you why. Because I'm working on a premise that if one person asked me a question, there's three or four more who've got the same question who didn't come and ask me. See, that's the premise I work on. Do you hear me? If one person asked me, there's three or four more people who had the same question, they just didn't come and ask me. So if four people come and ask me the same question, my premise says there's 12 to 15 people who had that same question. And all of a sudden, that question becomes very important to me. Because all of a sudden, as small a group as we are, if 15 of you have the same question, that's over half of you. That's almost everybody here. That then becomes an important to me. It's important to me. Okay? It becomes very important to me, that question. Because I feel like that there are many people who then have that same question. And here was the question. Pastor, if he shot my kid, I'd have a hard time forgiving. If somebody comes in my child's schoolroom this week and shoots my 8-year-old daughter in the back of the head execution style, I'm going to have a difficult time forgiving my enemies. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'm going to change up. I'm going to change up for a second my presentation this morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, I'm going to read it to you out of King James. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now listen to verse 13 out of the Message. You ready? No test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. And He'll always be there to help you get through it. You see, ladies and gentlemen, and I don't have the time every week to go back over this fundamental point, but this is the point I want us to keep in mind. Anytime, you see, because, my golly, Dad, I got so much I'm wanting to try to say here. I know that the things I say to you are not things that you're going to hear everywhere. I understand that. Okay? And don't be angry with me about raising the bar. We can all blame Pastor Jim because he raised the bar on me and I'm only doing to you what... So let's just put the blame in the right place. Thank you for being here to take the blame. But how many times has he looked me in the eye and said, you're not above the rules? And I stand up here and I say, you're not above the rules. Now, he was a little nicer about the way he said it. Okay, I will give you that. That's why Mike is here. And I let him talk to you every couple of 3 weeks so that I can take some of the edge off of it. Jim Jr. over here. Okay? But the point is that it is a high bar that is set. Now, what I want you to understand is that in our walk with Christ and in our levels of maturity and in our willingness to believe, we are not all at the same place. But you got to understand that when I'm standing up here talking, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to y'all. Okay? And so nothing being said is being directed towards one person. So we take what it is that is said and we apply it with where we are. My gripe is don't be content with where you are. Right. See, therein is my gripe. Complacency is my gripe. What were the words we used a minute ago? Indifference and unconcern. Duh. Unconcerned. Is my gripe. That's the fur on my back that gets rubbed in the wrong direction. Okay? So take the things that I say to you, and here's the other thing, and be here every Sunday to hear what's said. Because one Sunday builds on the next Sunday that builds on the next Sunday that builds on the next Sunday, and if you're not able to be here, that's why we have CDs, and if you don't have a CD player, that's why we got it on the internet. There are lots of places where you can hear, and because every word's going to build on another word. But understand that sometimes my words can contradict themselves. I will give you that. But God's word will never contradict itself. Okay? But the principles all remain the same. All right? Now then, having said all of that, I'm going to get back to 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Understand that God will never put you in a situation where you have to offer forgiveness to a person whose level of forgiveness you need to give is greater than what you're able.
In other words, He won't make you have to handle something you can't handle.
1 Corinthians 10, 13. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted to hold on to your anger more than the temptation to hold on to your anger is more than you can do. Now, here's the thing that just gripes me about so many Christians. What we use is we say, I just can't. And the truth is, I just won't. And seeing this is where my contempt for so many people comes into play. Because as long as we are dishonest with ourselves, we are going to never be free. And we buy the story of I can't forgive, or I can't stop lying, or whatever the temptation is. We make God out to be a liar when we say, I can't. But we establish God's word as true, and we set ourselves on a path to get well when we tell ourselves the truth. The truth is, I won't. If James says to me, I can't, I think of him as a person who's lying to me. But my respect level goes way up when you say, well, you know what, Pastor? I know I should, but I'm just not. My respect level goes way up then, because he's been honest with himself, and he's been honest with me. And what I understand is that that truth will set him free. Because to say I can't means God lied in 1 Corinthians 10:13. It means that God put something on me that I just cannot bear. And according to 1 Corinthians 10:13, you can. Now, how can I? And this is where I'm needing to forget my PowerPoint for a second and kind of jump around in my sermon for just a second. How can I face with confidence, knowing that God has not allowed me to be tempted above what I'm able? Where do I get the strength, the resolve? What were those words I used? Let me go back and look at my notes for a second. Where do I get the commitment, the strength, and the resolve that is greater than myself to hold on to 1 Corinthians 10:13 and believe what it says to me? Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. If you're using a church Bible, it's on page 1003. If you're in the Message, it's on page 1493. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Being assembled together with them, commanded them, this is Jesus speaking to the disciples, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father put into his own power. Look at verse 8. But Jesus says in verse 8, that there is a commitment, a strength, and a resolve that is greater than yourself, and it is found in the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, look at me. Number one, you cannot overcome sin until you have first dealt with the sin that's in your own life by giving your life to Jesus. Period. Point, done, over with, judge hits the gavel, it's a done deal. If lost people could handle sin, Jesus would not have needed to have died.
That's right.
If you've never given your heart and soul to Jesus Christ, you don't stand a snowball's chance in hell.
That's right.
Because if you stood a chance, God would have never killed Jesus on your behalf. Did you hear what I just said? God would have never have killed Jesus on your behalf if you could handle the sin problem on your own. The first step to having any kind of trust, any kind of hope, any kind of assurance that 1 Corinthians 10:13 is going to work for you is you got to give your life to Jesus. You got to say, all that I am, I give to you in exchange for all that you are. May it be that I no longer live, but it be Christ who lives in me. And that's where it starts. We call it salvation. Call it whatever you want to. We call it salvation. But until you start there, you're never going to live above sin. Sin is always going to live on top of you. Back to life. Secondly, saved people are beat up by the world all day long. The only way for the redeemed to live above the circumstances of this world is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And you shall receive power. Now, what we've done is we have corrupted that scripture and we've said you'll receive power to be witnesses. That's not what it says. It says you'll receive power. Period. I think there's a conjunction in there. Is it the word and? And. That's something else altogether. See, it's not power to be witnesses. It's power. And part of the power is the power to be a witness. But part of the power is the power to understand that when I am tempted, I am not tempted above what I'm able. That with every temptation comes a way of escape. And that it is not in my determination. It is not in my strength. It is not in my resolve that I can walk away from temptation. But it is in the power of the Holy Spirit that I am able to choose to do the right thing. Because it is not by my strength, it's not by my resolve, it's not by my commitment that I live, but in the life I live by His strength, by His power, by His commitment, and by His resolve. Because I cannot do this on my own. Mike said, I've proven it. Me too! Me too! That's why I'm an ex-Pharisee. Because you cannot do it. Not on our own. The Bible says you should be born again. Thank you. The Bible says you must be born again. And it says, and after you're born again, you must. Not to get into heaven, but to get from here to heaven. To get from here to heaven without feeling like you went a detour through hell. You must receive the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yesterday, Tripp and I were moving a freezer. The minute we picked it up, I went, oh. He goes, you okay? I said, yeah, I'm worried about your end. He said, shut up, Daddy. I got my end. I was just picking at him. But you know what? I needed him to pick up his end, so now he needed me to pick up my end, because in sharing our strengths. See, the only thing God needs from you, and I learned this from Pastor Jim too, the only thing the Holy Spirit needs from you is this. You ready? Yes, Lord. You knew I was going to say that, didn't you? That's all the Holy Spirit needs from you. Yes, Lord. And what he doesn't need is no, Lord. Of course, you know, no, Lord's an oxymoron. You can't have no in front of Lord. Because when there's a no, He ain't Lord. Somebody done wound a preacher up this morning and let him loose. I want to say thanks to Woody for the blueberries. That's what got me all wound up. Your fault, Woody. Go back there and sit with Pastor Jim. You two are in the fault corner. You must be born again. You must be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And hey, and I'm not one of the guys, I'm not on the radio. I'm not going to tell you that after that it's all Shangri-La. It ain't Shangri-La. But you see, without being born again and without the power of the Holy Spirit, you don't have any chance at all. And with being born again and with the power of the Holy Spirit, you have all the opportunity in the world as long as we continue to say yes. 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 I'm not going to be angry. Yes. I'm not going to be unforgiving. Yes. I'm not going to put myself in a situation where I'm tempted with whatever your temptation may happen to be. But it only happens by saying yes. We're going to talk about over the next several weeks being obsessed with Jesus. There isn't any way to be obsessed with Jesus without saying yes. Because one of the signs of obsessed people is that they freely and openly give without strings. But don't you know that you can freely and openly, I can freely and openly give something to Vera and it be all good. No strings attached. Yeah, well done. And it can be years down the road. And Vera can do something or say something or not do something. And the devil will remind me of when I was good to her and get me to try to go back and stick a string to it, won't he? You remember when? Don't you know? And the devil will come back and he'll try to get me to tie a string to it. Say no to him and yes to him. Because this is a constant thing that we are involved in. I can do it all right today and then screw it up tomorrow. But that's why, ladies and gentlemen, the blood still flows. You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Power to do what? Power, not a power to not be touched by this world, but a power that when you're touched by a greater touch. Because when a nail-pierced hand touches you, it is indeed that in the presence of Jehovah that my troubles vanish and my heart is mended. I was thinking during that song, and I was thinking about this sermon, and I was thinking about that question. Pastor, I just don't know that I can do that. All right. Then when you feel tempted to do something that you don't think you can do, throw both hands up, and that song is really simple, and start to sing. Because God inhabits the praises of His people. And you bring God right into the middle of whatever it is that looks like to you that it's bigger than you. I promise you, when God shows up, nothing looks bigger anymore. It might look like to me that I'm in the middle of Gulliver's Travels. Is that right? Okay, we're the big giant and they, all the little people. Okay. It might look to me like in the middle of Gulliver's Travels and I've done everything I can to tie the giant down and he still's able to break out. But when God shows up, Jesus whispers two words. He says, I am. And the entire Roman army falls flat on its back. Or he says three words. Peace. Be still. And the whole thing goes.
It says it is finished.
Or, he says, it is finished.
Yes.
Or, when they come to mob you and kill you and stone you and throw you off the cliff, he doesn't even say a thing. Didn't record that he said a thing. He just takes your hand and walks right through the midst of them. Because I'm going to tell you something, the intentions of the enemy have no effect on God. None. I've had people mad at me and they go, I'm going to go home and pray that God will. And I'm like, hey, pray whatever you want to pray. Because your prayer doesn't make God do anything. Pray whatever you want to pray. You can be just as, people can be just as mad at you as they want to be. They can plot your end and plot your demise. They can plot how they're going to get even, how they're going to get back. But I'm going to tell you something, the intentions of God, the intentions of the evil don't have any effect on God whatsoever. Because God is greater where He can reach down and He can lift us up. But how many times in dealing with our children where we reached down to pick them up and they were fighting being picked up, we almost dropped them. And yet we continue to fight God when He wants nothing more than to hold us in His arms. I had a whole lot more I wanted to say today. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the bad news is it only gets worse from here. The good news is Jesus died for you. His blood can set you free. You can be born out of this world and born into a brand new world. You can have a brand new daddy. God Himself. And have a brand new family. And we call her the church. If you're here today and you've accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, but the world is just beating the hound out of you, there is a power that is greater. Jesus, in His infinite wisdom, knew that when He left, we'd never make it on our own. And in His infinite wisdom, He sent to us the person of the Holy Spirit to come along aside and be over and in us. And the only thing this Holy Spirit needs is for you to pray the prayer of Jesus, not my will, but Thine be done. May Thy will be done in the earth that is called dawn. You know, this thing's made out of dirt. And in this part of the earth that you call and I call dawn, may Thy kingdom come. And in this part of the earth called dawn, may Thy will be done. In this earth, even as it's being done in heaven. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? And Wes and Charlie, would you come up here with me, please? If you're here this morning, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and this world is just beating you up. Hey, If you think you have and you're just not sure, that's fine too. I'm going to ask you that while Mike is playing and while the elders are here, if you know that you've never accepted Jesus, or if you want an assurance, because blessed is the assurance that Jesus is mine, I'm going to ask you to come on right now, even while I'm talking. Talk to these elders and let them pray with you. If you're here this morning, you believe with all of your heart that you have surrendered your heart and your life to Jesus. If you're convinced in your spirit that if you were to die right now, you would see Jesus. But this world is just beating you up. And you need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. I'm going to ask you to come and let the elders pray for you. Power that is greater than the power that you're currently living in. If you need to be washed over afresh and anew by the Holy Spirit of God. If you need that presence of Jehovah where the troubles vanish and the heart is mended. If you need that 24/7, that's found in the person of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask you to come right now and let these elders pray for you. Obsessed people, give freely and openly and without strings.
Troubles hanging high.
Said to bring honor and glory to your name. We ask you, O God, to purify our hearts of every motive, of every thought behind the thought. O God, may we be cut open and laid bare before your Spirit. The Jesus that died for us on Calvary to heal us from ourselves, that in your kingdom they might be all that you died for us to be. We want to bring you honor and glory. In the last days, we want to be a mountain that's higher than the other mountain. And we want the peoples of the world to stream to the God that we love. This week, O God, I bless your people with the presence of your Holy Spirit to live above the high winds and the tossing waves of this world, that we might walk on a plane with you that takes us through in every situation. We give you honor and glory today in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen.